Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We're towards the end of the daf. We're up to about 10 lines up at the bottom. Rav Hun of Rav Chia. Just to go over it quickly, that last story. So we had a machlekes with Rav and Shmuel. If not bar not, if you have a hot piece of fish on a fleshig plate, so it presumably absorbs some of the fleshig tam from the plate, is that mutzi with the kutah chadash? Shmuel says no problem. Rav says it's a problem. Shmuel says it's not a problem because it's not barnav v'teira. Rav says it's okay. The first one discussed that maybe Shmuel would agree. It depends, like by a davar charif, you discuss if the shear yuda davar charif maybe is stronger than a regular not barnav, or even not davar charif. It depends what the not barnav over here is. In this case of the fish, it's really just a fleshic plate with blias through a not barnav, blias through a not barnav without a direct source. Is maybe that's where Shmuel is more lenient. By the way, Shmuel is make a Rav's machmir. Shmuel fed to Rabbi Lazar such a dish, and Rabbi Lazar said, "I'm a Talmud." Rabbi Lazar was Talmud of Rav, and Shmuel told him, "Well, your Rebbe himself would eat it. You're not going to eat it." So Rabbi Lazar then went to Rav and asked him, and Rav said that Chas leLazari daAbba leLispi leMidi place relay. It wouldn't make sense for Abba to give me something which I don't hold of, something which I hold is usser. So there's actually two versions. Last time we said one version. We didn't say Rashi's version. We actually said the version that's born in the Mefarshim. We explained last night that there was miscommunication. Shmuel gave it to Rav. Rav thought that if Shmuel's giving it to me, he knows what I hold, and therefore it must be, it's not the case of not bar not, and therefore he must be giving something which I agree is mutter, and therefore Rav ate it. And Shmuel understood for the fact that Rav took it and ate it, that Rav retracted his opinion and held in this case not pronounced mutter. It was literally miscommunication. And then Shmuel then went and related to Rabbi Lazar as well that what? That your Rebbe was chaser, but the whole thing was a miscommunication, it was a mistake. That is one version. That's the first one bringing the Marashtam. Wants to explain that. That's the conversation between Shmuel, Rabbi Lazar, and Rav. The other conversation, the more simple pshat, which is what Rashi brings, and they, just a second, and they use this pshat that's a big raya in general about making up stories, that Shmuel held the halachas taka like Shmuel himself held, like that the not bar not by the case of the fish is mutter. Shmuel held that it's mutter. He therefore exaggerated, that's how they seem to explain it, Ritva, Rashi, he exaggerated, and he said that Rav was chaser, Rav himself was chaser, because he held it to be such a true fact, Rav himself was chaser, even though it never actually happened that Rav was chaser. Rav just says that there's no way Shmuel, knowing I'm a chaser, would ever feed me such food, and he essentially was denying the story, saying it never happened. There's no way it would have happened. That story never happened. What's interesting is, according to this version of the story, two things. First of all, you see Shmuel was so strong in his opinion that he offered up, I don't want to call it an untruth, but he offered up like an exaggeration, at least, to Rabbi Lazar, that Rav was chaser. And number two, for some reason, Shmuel, Rav says, matter of fact, there's no way Shmuel would feed me something which I hold, and he knows I hold zasser, and that could be true. But Lamaisa Shmuel was willing to convince Rav's Talmud, Rabbi Lazar, that it's okay to eat it. So maybe the Rebbe himself, who had the Shita, Rav was convinced Shmuel wouldn't feed him that which he himself was no good. But the Talmud, he was not as makbaran clearly, because he was trying to convince Rabbi Lazar to eat it. Okay, two different points that come out of that halach, which we did not explain last night. Rav Huna Rav Chiya Barashi, Havias, Rav Huna Rav Chiya Barashi was sitting, Chad Bagis to Marbra, Surah, one on this side of the crossing of Surah River, Chad Bagis to Marbra, one on the other side of the crossing, the Maya Isai, Isile, Dagam Shal Bakar, Bakutach. To one, they brought fish that was put on a meat plate, and it was hot fish, and yet he still ate it with kutach. Kutach, we don't know, is always the milk dish. The other one was brought figs and grapes in the middle of the meal. And he ate it without making a separate bracha, even though it's like a dessert, not part of the meal. He ate it without making a separate bracha. Like Yasma, the orphan. Is this what your teacher taught you how to act? The other one said to the other one, Umar Amalei L'Chavrei, Yasbam Rabbi Hachi, meaning both of them had a complaint about the actions of the other one. So Umar Amalei L'Chavrei, the Gemara doesn't say who did what, but the one who ate with the fish with the kutach. So he says, Ana Kshmuel Spilei, simple. I held like Shmuel, who was Mate. Shmuel holds that's not a problem. Umar Amalei L'Chavrei, and the one who ate the figs and the grapes in the middle of the meal without making a bracha, he says, Anakrib Chia severely, Alakrib Chia, and Hadab Chia, Pas Pateras, Komeni Bachel. Rab Chia says, Pas is Paters, all types of foods. What's the all coming to include, presumably? Meaning we know Pas is Mater, all food, or potters, I should say, all foods that they don't need a bracha that come from a meal. Fruits are considered dessert, they're not part of the meal, and therefore, normally, the other svara would be that you need its own bracha. Rav Chiya comes to say that past potters all mean a machel, even including fruits, and the ayin potter come in a mashkim, and wine potters all drinks. This is a less commonly known idea that if a person makes a bracha on wine and then he plans to have a drink of water afterwards, forget water, of orange juice afterwards, then the bracha for the wine potters the other drink that he drinks afterwards. So therefore, he said, it's okay that that's why I didn't make a bracha on the fruits. Amar Chizkim Mishum Abaye, back to this discussion we just had with Not. Hilchos Adag Mishal Bekar Mitalacha Makutach. Halacha is like Shmuel, at the fish that fell on the plate, it's mutter to eat it with the kutach, it's mutter to eat it with the milk dish. However, snain, a radish, and this really, you really touched on this after the shiur today, we referenced this just a few moments ago. Snain, the radish, shechotcha b'sakin, shechotcha b'basar, aslacha b'kutach. The snain that you cut with a knife that was used to cut basar is aser t'b'kutach. So you took a fleshy knife, a knife that was used for basar, you cut snain, a radish with it, it's aser to use that and eat it with a milchik dish with the kutach. Now, there's a few explanations. First of all, one explanation we gave is that the not bar not by davar charef, we were pointing out yesterday, that b'charef is a few miles. First of all, it takes any ben yoyimai, and it makes it like a ben yoyimai. It also is able to be mighty time even when it's cold, as opposed to being hot, right? And we're saying now also... Correct. Unless over here talking about ben yoyimai. It's like, we could talk about ben yoyimai. Ben yoyimai,
fine. If it's cold,
no, ben yoyimai, you still need... It's two separate reasons that normally be a kula.
Right.
Over here we could talk about ben yoyimai, so we don't have to come out to davar charef.
Who says? Was a ben-yayim.
Correct.
Right.
The
pasuk
is not,
but yeah.
I'm not sure. Means because stam kila ben yoyimai. That is true. Stam ben yoyimai. But we could be talking over here in our case about ben yoyimai. Let's assume if we're calling it fleshig, it's a buster plate or buster knife. Let's talk about ben yoyimai perhaps. Okay. Either way, but the Gemara is actually the way Rashi explains the Gemara. It says a different svara. Vani milit snayin dafka radish. The agav churfe bala. So the Gemara says, actually, we just spoke out. Agav the churfe, it absorbs. Avakishas loy. So look at Rashi. Even though, okay, Rashi is about the kishas. The kishas is the squash. Tab Rashi. It's sweet and it's not nivla b'seichay. Rather, it's surface. The fat is on the surface. The shamnunis is on the surface. Now, what shamnunis are we talking about? The shamnunis of the knife. Exactly. So Rashi, and he explained the same thing earlier on Beis, yesterday, that falls earlier in the daf, seems to be adding another element over here. That by the knife, and this is actually more of a concern by knife over plate. This is why I was saying before that by the plate, which is mamish blias, knife is also blias. No. Rashi seems to understand that by knife, there's another concern that knives don't get as clean, especially maybe back in those days, with the knives, with the serrated, with the cleaning processes, there still was fat and film left in the knife, the shamnunis. So there's another element which can mean there's real be'en even on these items. So there's another element here where the chilek is, I guess, even so, even if you have shamnunis here, kishas, which is sweet, it's not being beleya. So what do you have? Some shamnunis on the outside that you could just rinse off. You scrape off the edge. So the Gemara says, ava kishas gur lebe piskei bachol. Scrape off the surface here, the edge, and it'll be you can eat it with the kutach. So it's really not just Rashi. The Gemara seems to be indicating there's some sort of you have to scrape something off, it means it's not just about blias, right? Because we're just about blias, and this is not bilea, because it's not davar charef, you won't have to worry at all. The fact that we're saying scrape off the edge means there obviously is a concern of shrewdness there too, but only by the radish are we really concerned, because over there it's going to take it in, because it's a davar charef. Kilchig lifta shari. Furthermore, if you cut a lifta, a turnip, with the kilchig, it's like a stalk of a turnip, shari, that's permissible to go eat it with the kutach, because again, that's similar to kishas. The silka, however, if you're cutting beets, that's a problem. Beets, apparently, surprisingly enough, are considered davar charef. Asiri, the obiaser. However, look at this in between madrega. V'pasach pul delitfa shaper dami. If you're cutting beet, then lefes. Beet, then lefes. So in between, you keep using a lefes. That's kind of like almost dulling the power of whatever is on that knife. And therefore, even in the case of silk, maybe silk is not such a davar charef, it's less than snain, but the Gemara is saying that over there, if you're switching off and cutting the turnip in between the lefes, that will take away the effect, it will weaken the effect, and therefore the beet would also be okay. Now turnips, again, is something which is, I don't know if it's mamish sweet, Rashi says about the quiches that it's sweet. The turnips, Rashi says also, it's not charef, it's musuk. The main point is that it's hard, the tam of the shuman won't be nicker. If you remember, we actually used turnips, the Gemara used, was the example, we want to know what a ginnasha is batal in. The ginnasha is batal in, if the ginnasha was cooked in other meats, or in the thigh, in the body. If you guys don't mind, if you don't, you can put it on mute on your end. If the ginnasha was cooked inside the body, in the thigh, so we say you have to have a shear that's not nice and taut in order to be batal, which the first one did explain. Rashi seems to say clearly, Taisus on Tzadik Zion, Rashi, early in the parak, I think it's Tzadik Aleph or Peites, says it's 1 in 60, but the Mishnah gave a shear. The Mishnah of the Gemara said, with the shear of meat having flavor in turnips and lettuce. And the dissenting view over there, if I remember correctly, it was the Meiri, who said that it's taka less than 1 in 60 for bittul. All you need is 1 in 45 because the turnip is harder to impart flavor to the turnip. It wouldn't fit very well with what we're saying over here. Okay. But I mean, it may not be related. It just happens to fit nice.
When it says radish, does it mean like singularly radish or radish, onion, ginger?
So, correct. The answer is yes. The second. Radish is just an example of a devar charev.
So when it says only
they
radish,
say onion is onion, pashtas, right.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Right. And with the beets, when it says bitter, it's the stock of the beets we're talking about here, so who knows? Maybe it is.
Where did you see that? Oh, because you're saying, because we're talking about kilcha delifta, yeah. So you're saying the silk would also mean the stalks. You're right. I didn't actually. And you're saying the stalk of the beets, maybe takis charev.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe.
Good point, yeah.
Regular beets.
Yeah. Yeah, the Mara says kilchi by lifta, but the silk would presumably be the same thing.
Right.
Correct.
And then the first beat would be problematic, though, if you're going back and forth.
Yeah. Yes, that's correct. Baimine Ravdimi Merv Nachman. Ma'la nuche kada de milcha kabe kada de kamcha. Simple practical issue. You're putting a jug of salt next to the jug of kutach. Is it a concern or not? Meaning, what's the concern? You may have, like some people have different ketchup bottles, especially if you have kids. From milchus aflashik, because particularly the kids, they take the ketchup and it goes right up into that the flesh or the pizza or the cheese, whatever it may be. So here too, it's a similar idea. Some people have different salt, especially if salt shakers, open salt. Is there a concern of leaving your open bowl of salt next to your kutach that maybe some of the kutach will fall into the salt, and then when you use the salt aflashik, you're dropping kutach into the aflashik? Amalei aser. Indeed, he said it's usher. Usher to keep it together. It's usher because it can lead to a problem of basar, v'chalav. Okay. By the way, Tosfos points out that this iser is particularly by kutach. Because kutach is not, it's milchik, it's a milchik dish, but it's a dish. Meaning a bottle of milk next to salt isn't a problem. Because you know it's milk, and you know if you put the milk in the salt, you're going to make it milchik. That you're cognizant of that. You think it's on your mind. It's like it's more almost like because it's a flesh. A milchik tavshel is it more of a concern? The chala, mai. What about vinegar? What about vinegar next to the kutach? Amalei shari. That's mutter. Maisha, what's the difference? Chitechel alei kuri the milchik. So he said back. This is like a cute Russian. When you give me a core of salt, a core is 30 sas, it's a huge amount. It's just saying, give me a core of salt, I'll give you the answer. The explanation. It's just to use kibitzing, it sounds like. My taima, so what's talking the reason? Hai isi isur be'ene, hai less isur be'ene. Because by the salt, when the kutach falls into salt, the isur is be'en. The isur doesn't disintegrate, it stays there. Whereas when it falls into vinegar, it kind of evaporates into the vinegar. So therefore, by vinegar, yeah, of course you don't want to start putting milchiks into it and then using flashiks, but even the whole thing is a chash, it may happen. Even if it happens, it's batal in the vinegar. Since it's batal in the vinegar, I'm not concerned. Whereas by the salt, since it's ben, I'm more concerned. It's funny, when I actually was preparing the daf, I don't know why, when I was giving it this morning this year, I noticed that this is the right taisha and it's all good. Someone by the shiur this morning pointed out that he'd say opposite svara. When I was preparing it, I must have read it wrong. I understood it opposite. I understood the opposite svara, which is when it's ben in the salt, you'll notice it. So you don't have to worry about it. Whereas in the vinegar, where it kind of falls apart, you won't notice it. But the Gemara is clearly saying, it's clearly the Gemara is the opposite. That by the salt, it's usher. Because since it's be'en, it creates a problem. Whereas by the vinegar, it's mutter because it's batum. There was a young bird that fell into a kutach. Fell into this pitcher of kutach, so to speak. Shariye Rav Chanina, or a bowl of kutach. Shariye Rav Chanina, Bereidu Rav Mepharshinya. Rav Chanina, Breid Rava, he was matirit. Now the chiddush over is like this: the presumably this bird, mini bird, the little bird, was cold. He dropped it in, and after took it off, he rinsed it off. He rinsed off the bird from any kutach residue, and he ate it. Obviously, you have to rinse off residue. That's pashut. Rinse off the residue, and he ate it. But the the issue the Gemara is bothered by is the kutach is not just a bland dish, it has salt in it. And we know when something has salt, salt makes it as if it's very hot, as if it's hot in cooking. So says the Gemara, let's see. Amar Rava, man chakam l'mishik v'hai gavna. Who is smart enough to be matir in this case? Elav Rav Chinan b'Rav Parshinya. If not for Rav Chinina, the son of Rav Parshinya, Kasavar Kasiyot Kimar Shmuel Malecha Kureseach. When did Shmuel say Malecha Kureseach? Ani Malecha Dein Nechem Machas Machay. It's got to be salted so strongly that you can't eat it because it has so much salt in it. Av Haikutcha Kari Nechem Machas Machay. If it's often when you salt something to give it a status of Malecha, you put that much salt in that you can't eat it the way it is right now. You got to rinse off the salt. You know when you salt meat to get rid of the dam. That's you put a ton of salt. You can't eat Machas Machay. And then of course you rinse off that salt. But this kutach doesn't have that level of salt, therefore it's not considered hot, and therefore simply rinsing off the bird is sufficient. Hani mili, the Gemara makes another qualification, so it comes out if it would be that salty, of course, it wouldn't be edible, but it would be a problem of shpas v'chol now in the bird. Hani mili also chai, where this young bird was raw, right? This young bird was raw. Aval, tzli, tzali, if it was roasted, then by klipa, once it's roasted, that creates like that softens the surface area around the bird. It's very interesting because we just say as far almost another direction that roasting locks in some of the juices, locks in the dam, locks in some juices on the one hand. On the other hand, we seem to be saying that when it's roasted, then we're concerned that it will be by leia, at least like by klipa, at least the shear of a klipa, like a peel. Now, the first one do discuss, actually, to the point that I just mentioned a moment ago, that they discuss, does roasting mean roasting here, or that's not really the point? If it's hot, when it's hot and it touches, it'll be balek de klipa, not roasting so much hot, and if hot can be, it may have been cooked in a pot, as opposed to roasted, per se, that may not be the point. That's how others want to learn. Okay, vispe pili, and separately, another qualification, if it has cracks, this bird, then kuliaser, then, we're talking about, again, right there, was cooked, the bird was cooked, and it has cracks, then you have to be concerned that not just because a klipa, then it penetrates all the way through. There's cracks in it. The tam of the kudach, or the piece of kudach, may penetrate all the way through, and therefore be a problem. And similarly, again, last qualification, if it was all spiced up, the spices, again, we said yesterday, they weaken they increase its absorption ability, it weakens the barrier that the wall creates. And again, therefore, you'd have to be concerned that the kudach went all the way in, and it may disappear even without the crack. So basically, if it's cooked, then you need klipa. If it's cooked with cracks or cooked with spices, then you need the whole thing would be usher. Klipa wouldn't be enough. Amar Nachman Shmuel. Kiko shechadach ala baser. So now we're going back to this the idea of dam in the liver, regular meat. Kiko shechadach ala baser asalachla, meat that was cut over bread. So Rashba learns, we're talking over here to Machlekes actually. Rashba is talking over here about meat that was not salted. The person just roasted it. See, if he salted that the meat, and which extracts the blood, and then he also went and cooked or cooked it as well, then you don't have to worry about any, whatever comes out now is not a problem, according to what Rashba's understanding. This was meat that wasn't salted at all. He was relying on the roasting to get rid of the blood, and Itaka does. What happens is, either blood drips out, or blood remains inside. But what remains inside is still okay. Over here, the problem is, since he's cutting on top of the bread, and it's whatever blood is oozing out is going right into the bread. It's being absorbed by the bread. That's why it's creating a problem. Now, it really still depends. This, that the blood's coming out, really maker, it's a shaila. If maker, then it's still not such a problem. So, the Gemara gives some qualifications why it's, when it's an issue. Hanamili the asmik has to be, first of all, where the meat was very noticeably red in that spot, which shows there's some sort of bruise, some sort of gathering of blood there, which is why it's more of a concern, even though it's already roasted. Hanamili the avre. And that's also where it went all the way through the bread, through and through. It penetrated all the way into the bread, to the bottom of the bread. And also where the liquid is thick like blood. But if it's thin, or if it didn't go through and through, or if there wasn't a spot where there was a wound, then he say, you know what it is? It's just red gravy, red juice. It may have the color of blood, but it's not really blood. All this thick of blood is already gone, and you wouldn't be concerned.
And the meat itself?
The meat itself is for sure fine. Because again, any blood that's inside is nivla.
Does it make any sense to say that the meat is fine, but the thing that might be coming out of the meat?
We just said why. As long as it's nivla, it's fine. You get have back your other question that you actually asked on by the udder, that when you're cutting it, some of the milk can ooze out. Remember that question you had?
Yeah.
A couple of, so what happens over here? You cut the meat. When you cut it, if some blood comes out, would there be an issue with that blood itself? If the same way it's making an issue in the bread, presumably it should make an issue in the meat as well. But the meat, the simple answer is the meat is fine because until any blood is coming out of it.
But the blood did come out onto the bread, right?
Correct. So the meat's still fine. Why should there be an issue with the meat? He's still not explaining why the meat's an issue. While it's nivel on the meat, the meat's mutter.
Why?
And once it comes, because when the dam is nivel, it's not aser. Dam is not aser.
So it's soaking through the bread entirely. Isn't that a function of the quantity and not the quality of the substance? Why would that matter?
Well, why is it so much that both of it doesn't matter?
Well, why is that a thing that if it didn't go all the way through the bread, then it's okay? I mean, a small amount wouldn't go through, and a large amount would. But that's a quantity. The bread could be a different thicknesses. That's all. Those are just measures. Like, why is that a?
I'm not sure why measure doesn't make a difference. Again, he keeps asking the same. Why not? Who told you measure doesn't make a difference? Maybe the fact that this amount of blood is an indication that the blood was.
So maybe it was a 1-inch loaf.
Oh,
maybe it was
you said,
a lot of variables. Said,
right. That's a good point. We didn't see how thick the bread was.
Yeah, it's measures on both sides.
Like, there's a standard share of kika. But yeah, you're right. You're right. The word doesn't clarify.
Okay. But you understand that as a quantitative thing, it needs to be the a sufficient amount that it goes through a standard loaf. Is that what it's?
I wouldn't necessarily have, but only because the word's next line is about the thickness. So it seems like we're accounting for how thick or how powerful the blood may be in the next line, right?
Mm-hmm.
What you'd call the qualitative element. Shmuel shadi le kalva. Shmuel would throw this loaf of bread to his dog to eat. Rafuni yavle yashami. Rafuni gave it to Shamish to eat. Manavshach. Why would he give it to Shamish? He showed the kula amashari. If it's mutter, then it's mutter himself too. Why is he giving it to Shamish? He also kula amashari. It's also to give it to Shamish as well. Meaning, if he holds like Shmuel, that's usher, give it to the dog. If he holds that's mutter, why didn't he himself? Why is he giving it to Shamish? Shani rafuni danina adaita. A separate issue. It was istinus. The fact that that red bloodish color. He just didn't like the air. So it's funny. It's funny that the Gemara even brought it. He gave it to his Shamish. I know the answer is simple. By saying give it to Shamish is a way of saying that he held his mutter.
Right.
Rav Achalei the curly chamabasa. Rav would eat this liquid that came out of the meat and he'd call it the wine of the meat because the red color. Amar Nachman Amar Shmuel. Ein menichim related halacha. Ein menichim about the blood coming out of the meat. We touched on this the other day also. But last night. Ein menichim kli tachas basar at sheichlik olamarid b'mishabai. They used to put a kli. We called yesterday a beidugi, a kli under the meat that was roasting to catch the fats, because they used to use the shmelz, the fats, for other stuff. You don't put the kli under the meat until all the red color liquid that's dripping from the meat is finished dripping. Once it's red color, as long as it's dripping red color, there's dam in there that's leaving, which is a problem. Manei adinan, how did we know that it really reached this point? When the smoke starts to rise. So the idea is that there's different ways to understand what we're talking about. First of all, does it mean when the smoke is rising from the meat itself, or the smoke rising from the coals beneath the meat? Either way, at the point where the dam is no longer leaving the meat, either that's when the meat starts smoking, maybe because it's drained from the blood, or when the coals by the dam is going on the wood doesn't give off smoke. Once there's no more dam hitting the wood, that's when the wood gives off smoke. By the way, that's the siman. It's a machlokes, which one it is. But that's, either way, that's the siman that the dam is finished with the meat, and now you can gather the fat and use it. Maskar of Ashi, the dam is talking about not so fast. Maybe by the meat itself, the bottom part, the lower part, is taka, no longer dripping blood. But there's still blood in the upper part that's waiting to come out. And maybe the fact that it's smoking wouldn't be a clear indication. Elam of Ashi, therefore he doesn't like this as a symbol. He makes a different symbol. Lesli takanta elamishta beitarti galgli milcha. So Rav Ashi says, the only answer to make sure to keep the blood of Isser out of your beidugi, out of your fat pail, is actually not really keeping it out. It's the way the Mark explains it, is you put two galali milcha, two pieces of salt in. Now, it's interesting. Rashi's lashon seems to be, bottom Rashi of the page, and I don't understand this, because later it seems very clear, it's in the pail. Rashi's lashon is, bein ala basar, bein b'secha kli. You could put two little clumps of salt, one on the basar, and one on the kli, or both on the kli. It seems pretty clear that look at that in the Rashi even. Hadam nigger eats al melech l'shalayim, and the blood will be drawn to the bottom of the pail to the salt. Sounds like both of the salt are in the pot. So again, I'm not trying to be that Rashi, just pointing it out. But okay. But this we'll get back to the simple text. So you're putting these two pieces of salt in the pail, and then what happens is all the dam gets attracted, so to speak, to the salt at the bottom of the pail. You know, dam draws in salt. And then you left all the fat on the upper half of the pail. And then gently, top of the marna beis, umeshaife, gently you pour off the fat off the top. As long as you don't pour it hard, the blood stays at the bottom, the fat comes off the top, and the fat is mutter, and you don't have to worry about the blood being mixed in. It's very amazing how close you are to Isser and Heterin, right? And it's still fine. The Farshim actually speak out that, I mean, Rashi brings it. Rashi brings in the top Rashi that you should be careful, being from the Bahag, the Bahachas Gedilas, you should be careful to do it softly, because if you do it quickly and hard, then obviously all the contents got mixed up and the dam got mixed in. I'm sorry, more than that. I spaced out. That's not what he says, what Bahag says. That's the Meshaifi, that's the softness. He brings to the Bahag that you should only put in 2 lumps of salt, not more. Only 2 lumps of salt, not more. Because 2 lumps of salt have the power to attract the dam to the bottom of the pail, and then you have the fat on top and the dam on bottom. If you take too much salt, it doesn't just attract the dam, you know what it does? It breaks it down. It kind of like, it makes it like, not dissolve, but it makes it like much thinner. And if it makes the blood dissolve and be thinner, it'll get intertwined and mixed with the fat as well. That's what the Bag says. Nothing to do with being soft. That's the Gemara. The Bag says that if you make it like water, it'll get mixed up with the Shuman and it'll be a problem. That's why you have to put, that's the exact amount. You need enough to draw it, but not too much to break it down. Amalei, Ravacha, Bereid, Rav Ikla, Ravashi, Umiyam, Shmuel, Hachi. We have a question of Shmuel now. Is Shmuel the one that says that once all the liquid is out of the meat, once all this red liquid is out of the meat, we said the memories from Amrav Nachman Amar Shmuel, that you can put the big dugi clean underneath, once you know the marid mumis is gone, the red liquid, dripping liquid is gone. The Shmuel say that, Amar Shmuel, kiga shechakach alava. So we learned the Gemara before that, Shmuel himself said, a piece of meat that you roasted, that you cut open, and basar and dam comes out, aslachot, aslachot eat, so meaning, with the chur, when you took it off the roasting, presumably, it was finished with that dam coming out, and now when you cut it, we are worried about the dam. So, manavshach, is he worried about the dam inside there or not? Shani Yosemar says it's not a difference. Why? The Agav Duch HaSakina Pullet, there's new blood, and this gets back to the point that you were bothered by before you, when you cut it with a knife, the cutting with a knife, when he's slicing it, is causing new blood to come out. So once it reached the point that the roasting's not drawing any more blood, the Beit Dugi's fine. But when you cut it open and you extract new blood from it, that creates indeed a new issue, not a steer to the fact that the Beit Dugi popped beneath the meat before that was already mutter. You didn't have to worry about the blood before that stage. Amar Nachman. Dagim b'ayfish amalchim zam zeh asurim. Dagim and ayfish, fish and birds that were salted together are usur. Why? That the truth is, it doesn't mean that the bird is usur. It means the fish becomes usur. Why? Because the fish absorbs the blood of the bird that's being salted, and the first point out, for sure by meat, the chiddush is even by bird, it puts it into the fish. What's the chiddush? Meaning, the bird itself is going to be mutter. Why? Because the bird itself is busy doing what? Giving off its blood. And we know we have a klal, ademiflet, leibali, when it's giving off flavor or blood, it's not being belea. But the fish now becomes also because it's absorbing the blood. Let's understand the case. Hey, Kadami. If it's a kli which has no hole to allow the blood to drain, even if it's just birds with birds and you're salting in the kli has to be perforated. If it's not perforated, then if it's seeping in its own blood, eventually it goes back in the bird and it'll be usur. Even a kli that has holes in it, even fish and birds together, it should be mutter. And the Mar says, no. I already kind of told you the answer. If we're talking about a kli that has holes in it, so we didn't speak at this part, the fish. The Gemara is bothered. Sorry, I should explain the question better. The salt's going on the fish too. So the salt's going on the fish and the birds. So at this point and this holes, they're both expressing liquid out of their, or whatever it is, out of their bodies, and therefore none of them are being belayed, and the blood is leaving the kli through the holes, so they both should be okay. Answers the Gemara, we're talking about Kli Minuk of Taka. However, the time frame is different for the two of them. Dagim, Mishin Durafa Karmaya, because their skin is soft and it has like cracks, Kadmi Palti, it is quicker to get rid of its blood and its juices. So Taka is emitting blood just like the bird is in the beginning. And while it's emitting blood, it's not going to be absorbing. But the process of how long it emits blood is much shorter. Vaifas Kamiti, whereas the bird's hide, the bird's skin is tight, and therefore it's slower to get rid of the blood. Basanaki dug and play to Aphis. After the fish is already stopping to be platelet, its juices, and the bird is still doing that, the bird is still giving off its juices, then hadar bolimine, so the fish will then absorb from the bird, and that creates the problem.
But the chicken won't be fine.
Therefore the bird is fine, correct. The bird is fine.
And why are we salting this fish?
Sorry?
Why are we salting this fish?
Oh, I'm not sure. Let's stop over here. I'm not sure if...